Welcome to episode 3 of Unbreakable. Why are we in the desert? And will we ever get out? Let's start at the beginning.
Hello and welcome to Crossroads, which comes to you today from one of the harshest and most unforgiving environment on all of planet Earth, the desert. Blazing sun and scorching heat by day, bitter cold and frigid temperatures at night, biting wind pretty much all the time. So why am I here? What's in this box? Well, we're here in the desert because I know you are in the desert. The good news, you don't have to stay here. In fact, at Crossroads, we exist to guide you out of the personal desert you find yourself into the adventurous life that God has made you for.
All the way from Ohio.
Do you want to know why you're here?
Yes. Would love to know why.
Each week, our teachers will deliver a powerful message using the book of Exodus.
We're in a desert.
Wandering in the desert. Now.
Follow the map I've given them and complete surprise challenges along the way.
So we're not just preaching, we're actually doing things.
So what's this?
Today, can Brian remember just one of the Ten Commandments? Will Allie give us the endurance to last? And will Chuck ever get out of the desert? Let's find out right now.
You are on one of three journeys with God right this very minute. And today, I'm going to help you figure out which one of those you're on and tell you how to make it out. Because all three of these journeys pass through the desert. And some of us are not going to make it. We're going to get hot, tired, discouraged. We're going to give up somewhere along the way. And I don't want that to be you. I want you to make it out. And they're also the journeys that God took the nation of Israel on when they came out of slavery from the nation of Egypt. We read about their history in the book of Exodus. This is a story about a huge extended family that God rescued out of slavery. And they probably thought, like you and I would, that the point of escaping slavery would be to go live free in a better place. And yeah, God wanted them to have that too, but he actually had some other things in mind. Some things that took them on a 40-year detour through the desert. And man, I hope today helps you get out a little quicker than they did. Oh,
okay, Allie,
hey.
Time to open it up.
Have I told you how much I don't like surprises?
Yeah.
I've mentioned that.
You're gonna love it, I promise.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, let's see what's in here. I don't like surprises. Okay, this is a story from someone watching right now. They're in a desert in their life, and your job is to teach your message to them and help them get out of the desert. 2020 began a real desert in my life. My career that I was so passionate about and my job disappeared overnight due to COVID, and it isn't coming back anytime soon. My boyfriend and I were talking about marriage until he broke up with me out of the blue. My entire life was taken away, and I honestly don't want to live anymore. Everything feels hopeless and empty. Can you help me find a new purpose in the middle of a pandemic and to heal my broken heart now? From Elizabeth. Elizabeth, I have such good news for you today. You want to take this?
Mm-hmm.
I have such good news for you today. One of these journeys is exactly the journey that you are on. I feel your desert. I really do. And journey number 3 is just for you. I can't wait to tell you what that's about. And we're not going to start there. So you're going to have to wait for just a couple of minutes because your journey is journey number 3. But the first journey that Israel took through the desert was actually called a journey of trust. And maybe someone else watching is on that journey today. This journey, I call a journey of trust because it's really fundamentally about going from my way of doing life to God's way. This is a journey from doing life according to my plans, on my timing, in my way, to shifting to God's plans and God's timing and God's way. At the beginning of a journey like this, the journey of trust, we're frankly really not sure if we can trust God. We don't know him too well, maybe not even sure he's actually there, or maybe just not sure if he is there that he's really very good. If you're on this journey, maybe you've heard people say things about God, but I would ask you today, do you believe those things for yourself? Israel needed to go on this journey. Right when they came out of Egypt, they left Egypt like in dramatic fashion. If you have been following the story, then you might remember that when they left Egypt, they left to plagues and the Red Sea parted and victory over Pharaoh and all of his chariots and soldiers. And they're this ragtag people that escapes in dramatic fashion. But the first thing that happens when they come out of Egypt is they appear to make a wrong turn. So go with me here. God actually seems to lead them further away from the land that they had been promised. There was this land called Canaan that had been promised to their ancestors. And you can see here on the map, when they leave Egypt, what they do is they come down and they cross the Red Sea to get out, but they don't move right across to Canaan. Instead, God actually takes them further away. He takes them on what looks like the wrong direction. They actually look like things are going worse for a time. Israel had no idea that God was not just interested in getting them as quickly and comfortably to their new destination as possible, because they were on a journey of trust. Out of college, I went to work at a company called Procter & Gamble. I was there about 6 years and I actually left specifically to come to work at Crossroads. I felt like God was pushing me in a new direction in my life. And just like Israel, the prospect of escaping where I'd been and going somewhere new, like somewhere that felt freer to me, seemed exciting. It even seemed like maybe I was getting closer to the life that God had for me, even if it felt scary to leave what I'd been doing. But what I didn't know, I had no idea, is that God didn't want me to just reach my new destination. Less than 2 years after I started working at Crossroads, I felt a similar push from God. I felt a similar leading to leave the place that I thought he had led me, and to go home and not work at all for an entire season. But I thought, like, seriously, how could this be? I thought I followed you here, God. I thought you were doing something new.
Okay. You keep talking about God leading you and you following him. We've been in Exodus and there's like burning bushes and pillars of fire and clouds. Was it like that? Is that what you mean? Was there a burning bush inside your house? Like, how did you know this is where God was taking you?
No, I mean, when I say that God was leading me, what I mean is that in spending time with God, when I pray, I have friends that I connect with who might pray for me. I read the Bible. I just ask God honest questions sometimes, and I wait for an answer.
Okay, no burning bushes.
And that can come of all different ways. Yeah, okay. No burning bushes, no voices from heaven in my life.
And that's still God leading us.
Absolutely.
Okay, great, that was helpful.
Absolutely.
Thank you, keep going,
no problem. So I think that I followed God to this new place, only now it looks like I'm getting further away. How can this make any sense at all? This can't, but I was sure, I was really sure that I was supposed to leave the place that I thought I had just come to. This was the turn that took me into my desert. My journey of trust began the day that God started leading me somewhere that wasn't what I expected, that in some ways looked like I was gonna end up worse off and further away from what I thought I was going to go do. Israel felt this way. Just 3 days into the desert, just 3 days, they traveled into the desert and they couldn't find any water. When they came to a place called Marah, they couldn't even drink the water there because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses. That's what Exodus 15 says. It says the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we supposed to drink?" This was 3 days in after their miraculous rescue. Why in the world would God lead them to the very edge of basic survival? I mean, the human body, especially under these conditions, can only survive about 3 days without water. But God had an agenda, and his agenda went way beyond their quick arrival into a new comfy home. He wanted to force to the surface the real questions that they had about him and the real questions that you and I have to deal with too. Is he really there? And if he is, will he be able to take care of me? And will he? God wants us to confront these questions, not to deny them. He knows that you doubt him when you're confused or unsatisfied or he's doing something you didn't expect. Listen, I stayed home for 7 years without a job, and for about 6 of them, I was completely in the dark about whatever might take me back to the place I thought he was going to lead me. We can't live off of somebody else's experiences with God. He wants you to have your own. The journey of trust is the time that you go find out the answer to those questions. Because the answer, spoiler, is yes, God is there. And you can trust him. And he is kind enough to take the time to prove himself to you over and over if necessary. In the book of Exodus, Israel had to repeat this journey several times, like water and food and lead. Will God actually be there to take care of my needs? Exodus 17 says that during this period of time, Israel moved from place to place just as the Lord commanded. It was almost like God was telling them, pick up, now go here, because the only way out of this desert is to follow. During the early weeks, just after their rescue, it was almost like God was having them practice. Get up, move. Hear me, follow. See me, go. And in doing that, he surfaced their real questions. They didn't trust him. And they needed to see it. They needed the answer to, can they really trust God? And the only way to do that is to actually follow. I would tell you today, if you are praying, like I told Kyle, if you're praying, if you're seeking God, if you're asking questions, if you're getting counsel from other people in your life that are trying to follow God, and you still think he's leading you to a place you didn't expect, a place that looks further away, you know what I would say? Follow him there. A sure way to stay in the desert is to never actually follow. If you want to stay in the desert, you'll do it your way on your timing, and you'll get there when you want to, instead of following the God who can lead you out, and he will lead you out, and you can trust him to do it, but only if you follow where he leads. The end of the journey of trust is not when we get to our new destination, not even close. The end of this journey is when we can confidently agree that God is the way. When we stop resisting where he's leading because we don't like it or we're confused, and instead we agree that his plans, his timing, his ways are better than our own. God is the way.
All right.
Challenge number three.
Challenge number three. I hope right. I get to use our telescope on this one.
I would love to use this sextant. I would love to know how to use this thing.
I know, it's pretty intense. Right?
Let me take this off.
All right, take off your cute backpack.
Yes, yes. All right, we got to open this up. That certainly wasn't, we weren't helped with that at
no,
all.
With no nest
need. We did it all on our own. All right, let's see. We got set in stone, week three challenge. In the book of Exodus, the Ten Commandments were smashed by Moses when he was enraged by the sight of the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf in Exodus 32:19. So he had to rewrite them with God's help. You will have to carve just one commandment into stone using the tools provided.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. All right, well, let's see what we got here. Got some stones.
I don't know who set this up.
Wow.
I've done a good bit of construction.
Yeah?
I've never actually carved something in stone.
I would imagine it's not the easy. Oh, and there's different sizes. Okay, so yeah, you need like intricacies to be able to do different letters.
All right, I mean, this has something sharp on it. This is more like a set that you use, but okay. I mean, maybe.
How's it going, guys?
Well, Kyle, you.
I don't see any carving there yet.
You're a real like, you know, constructy kind of guy, right, table Kyle. Building kind of guy. You ever carved anything in
stone?
Have
you verified this can actually happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Moses did it. You guys can do it.
Yeah, but
here's the thing. Why don't you guys take a seat?
Moses didn't have a price tag on the backside of it either. This is not the exact kind of stone.
Yeah, these are nice. These are nice rocks. We got you guys the best, okay?
Yes.
We got you. Why don't you take a seat over here?
All right. Well,
why don't you sit down?
Over here. Okay.
Now, the thing that instruction card didn't exactly tell you is that this is a contest. And if you want to know what you're going to get, right there. You guys ever seen one of those before? Want to smell that? Smell? Smell good?
Ooh, smells great.
Man,
that right there is the world famous In-N-Out Burger.
That's what I thought.
Ooh. With fries. Winner
that
gets one of these.
In my mouth and out my butt. That's what that is.
So pick your.
It's going to go in. It's going to go out.
How quickly will it happen?
I don't know. It's gotten to me, not you.
That was more detail than we needed, probably.
Right.
Go ahead and think of your favorite commandment.
Okay.
And start carving. While you do that, I'm just going to sit here, right here.
I do want to, before we start, if this is a race, I'm not sure. You might be better off with that actual hammer.
This is like something Kyle would use.
Something that.
How about we check back in with Allie and see if she's off to a better start?
So the first journey was a journey of trust, but that wasn't the only thing that God wanted to do in the life of his people. Some weeks later, they found themselves further into the desert, and Israel arrived at the place where their next journey was waiting for them. And this one is a journey called obedience. Life was not amazing for Israel right about now in the desert. And maybe it's not amazing for you right now either. Sometimes things in our life aren't very fruitful and we can't really figure out why that is. Or maybe you know why. Maybe you know that there's ways that you're staying distant from God, or you've got some crap in your life that shouldn't be there, and yet it is. When we don't see any fruit in our life, or when we stiff-arm God and keep him at a distance, it usually indicates that this desert is our desert, and we need to go on a journey of obedience. If what we want is a thriving life that's fully alive, then this is the journey waiting for us. Israel had been free from Egypt for about 3 months when God led them to a very specific spot in the desert called Mount Sinai. And here is where they kind of set up camp. The truth be told, the people were kind of afraid of God right now. They were relieved when Moses, their leader, went up alone to God on the mountain. And Moses was all, okay, God, we're here. What now? And God told him, y'all are gonna go on a journey of obedience. In Exodus 19, listen to God's words. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The journey of obedience is when God takes you from freedom to a thriving life of faithfulness. God is not satisfied with you just being free. He actually wants you to experience the fruitful life of faithfulness. God sent Israel free from Egypt by his grace, not because of anything they did. He didn't have to do it. He used his power to set them free because he wanted to. And now that they were free, he gave them a choice. Will you be faithful? If you are faithful, you can walk through life with all the advantages of being mine, fully who I made you, fully living the kind of life that I made you for. God used the language, my treasured possession. The term that's in the text here, it actually means the personal wealth of a king. He wanted Israel to be his possession. But if they were, then how they lived became very personal to God. And if you are his, then how you live is very personal to him too. God communicated to Moses up on that mountain the core of the code of law, the stuff that he wanted Israel to live by and obey. And today we call these the Ten Commandments. Even when he communicated these commandments, he again reminded Israel, I am the God who freed you from slavery. It was as if he was saying at every opportunity, if I did that, then I only want what's best for you. Friends, today God would say to you, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery through my son Jesus on the cross. That was your rescue. That is the extent of my love. So now, the same question, will you obey me? The journey of obedience is not a matter of being freed, of being saved, or of someday going to heaven. The journey of obedience is about living life fully the way that God intended. This journey is a matter of getting to the point where we actually believe that God has the truth about how life works best. I remember when my husband and I decided that actually we did want to follow Jesus together and in our marriage. And the very first journey of obedience that we went on was with our money. We had two salaries at the time and we gave a little bit, you know, whenever we showed up at church or whenever it made us feel good, until we started to understand that actually God would like us to be obedient with our money. He asks for the first 10%. And as a matter of fact, he says that's his money. and that we can't keep it. We'd never really fully embraced that before, and we frankly weren't sure we were on board. I was like, really, God, the first thing? Why my money? Why first? And I'll tell you why I think so now. You and I are going to go on a lot of obedience journeys, and I believe the ones that God comes after first in our lives are the ones that are most likely to get in our way of living uniquely as his treasured possession. Whatever is going to get in your way, whatever is going to stop you from experiencing what it feels like to be his kid. And in our culture, I'm going to tell you what's going to top the list of an awful lot of people. It's going to be money. It's going to be sex. It's going to be status. Obedience to God's ways, especially on that kind of stuff, it comes against the mindset of our culture, the culture that says, I'm free so I can just do whatever I want. And make no mistake, that is exactly what our culture is telling you. You are the creator of your life. You are the one that gets your own blessing. You are the one who gets to do whatever you want because everything is fine because you're free. The journey of obedience is a recognition that it is God who made you. It is God who set you free. It is God who knows how your life is supposed to work best. If you are in a desert where your life just isn't producing a lot of fruit, or you know deep down, you're giving God the stiff arm on some things that you think he might just put a demand on you about, I'm telling you, God takes how we live personally. It's time to go on this journey. Despite your fear of being deprived or being weird or being left out or left behind, the very way to make it through this desert is to obey him. Or don't. And just circle around the same crap, as dull as you were last year, as fruitless as your life's been. You will only come out of this desert when you begin to agree with God about what he says about how life works best. You know you're at the end of a journey of obedience when you can honestly say out loud, okay, God, you are the truth.
You know, one of the primary ways to endure is generosity. Now, I know that sounds backwards. See, what the culture says is that the way you endure is to hold on. You hoard, you just collect resources and you hold them on. That's how you'll make it through. But God says something opposite. God says the way you endure is to trust and follow him, including with your finances. I know that can sound self-serving for a church to say that. Totally get it. We've designed a way for you to follow God risk-free. It's called the 90-day tithe test. If you go to crossroads.net/give, you can sign up. Here's how it works. You give for 90 days, and at the end of that, you don't feel God's blessing on your life. He's not helping you endure. We'll give you all your money back. Hundreds and hundreds of people have done this and experienced God's blessing. You can do that today. Let's check back in with Brian and Chuck to see if they've made any progress.
Are we gonna do old ancient version or modern version? Like, thou shalt not lie is a lot more than don't lie, which basically says the same thing.
Yeah. As long as we have an agreement on which one, I think.
Hey guys,
we are
timing you. So you just kinda
don't lie. All right. I mean, I could do it in Hebrew, but I know you haven't been to seminary the way I have.
So, all right, you ready? Here we go.
I'm ready. Wait, are we scratching or are we engraving? Because I could get this done really quick.
Let me check. That counts. I like what you're doing. I like what you're doing. Whoo, is it hot out here? Is it me? Gosh, whoo.
Be quiet, Kyle. Be quiet.
I am doing the work of the Lord. Safety glasses, I just want to have one go in my eye.
Before I have to change mine to don't covet. Probably. How legible does this have to be?
I have to be able to read it.
Okay.
All right. So we shouldn't have told you what we were doing here.
Never said you couldn't pay me off or bribe me. So just keep that in mind.
I got it! I want to finish for...
Check with the... I don't even know what that says.
You don't know what that says?
I can't even read it. I can't even read it.
That's ridiculous. What do you mean? Yes, you can see it.
You know what? I'm going to have mercy on you guys.
It says do not lie. You're actually lying right now. It says do not lie. You're lying right now.
Mercy on you. There's an ice cold one for you. There you go,
How is it mercy to give me? How is it mercy?
It's non-alcohol. My friend Cal.
Oh, no, alcohol dehydrates you. It's the desert.
My friend Cal knows me well. Yeah, thank you very much.
But you're not anti-dehydrate you. You're anti the taste of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've never had this one, so I'm assuming this might not solve the problems, what you're saying.
Oh, duels, huh?
Mm-hmm. Take it back.
I'd rather drink beer.
You, yeah, it's hop flavored water is what this is. Well, yeah, here's to
cheers.
Not breaking the commandments.
That's
huh?
Right. There we go.
Yeah,
right there. Cheers.
Salute.
Cheers. Salute.
While they hopefully have the endurance to last through this challenge, let's check back in with Allie.
Well, there's a third journey. And this journey is Elizabeth's journey. I read this letter from Elizabeth earlier, and she said something that really got me. She said her entire life was taken away, and she wasn't sure she wanted to live anymore. And it made me really sad because, gosh, your life is endlessly valuable. And I know that God has so many things that he wants to do in it. And the reason I thought of this particular journey for you is because the last journey is a journey of relationship. And Elizabeth, before I tell you why I think this is your journey, I also want you to know I'm putting this in my pocket and I'm going to take it home with me. And every single day this next week, I'm going to be praying for you with your own words about how you feel about your own life, because I think this is a really common feeling. We go into seasons, and I hear this so often. This kind of desert that you're in, it feels like a loss of direction. It feels like a complete lack of focus in your life, where you literally are wandering, not sure where to go or what to do next. And it just reminded me of Elizabeth's situation, because all of a sudden, some major things fell out from under her in one fell swoop. I think any sense of wandering like that actually is your invitation from God to start on the third desert journey, the journey of relationship. It's on this journey that God wants to move to the center of your life, to the center of your day, to the center of your job, to the center of your parenting, your decision-making, whatever. God wants to be in the center. Instead of asking God to come in and dip around the edges of our life and bless it, this journey is about God becoming the core relationship in your life, the thing that gives everything else direction around it. When the Israelites first entered the desert, they didn't have any direction, no plans, no maps, no compass. God simply traveled in front of them as a cloud by day and as a pillar of fire by night. The only thing that gave them any sense of orientation was staying in sight of God himself. That relationship was the only thing that was giving them direction. It wasn't just while they traveled that God wanted this for Israel. His plan was to be their center, their direction, all the time, to take them from a group of wanderers to a nation of worshipers who woke up every day and knew exactly who they were and exactly what they were doing. And God wanted to do it in a very unusual way. He did it by telling them to build a tabernacle. Okay, so a tabernacle is basically a big tent. It's a big tent where Israel would come to worship God. It was also where his presence was said to be found among his people. It was like his house, for lack of a better term. In the book of Exodus, the description of the tabernacle is actually pretty mind-numbing. Sorry, God. But it's pretty tedious to read through the chapters that describe it. I want to share one important detail, though, just one, because it's so what God wants to do for you and I. See, the placement of the tabernacle inside the entire camp of Israel was this. It was right in the center. God described where he wanted it built. He described every single detail about it, but the position of the tabernacle in the middle of all the people was right smack in the center. And that was no accident. The center is where ancient tribal kings actually always had their tents. See, God was sending Israel a message. He was telling them something by the placement of this tent. God was telling Israel, you have a king. I'm right here with you. I will not go anywhere. Every time you wake up in the morning, you're going to see me here and know that my presence is with you. You will never wake up and wonder, who am I? What am I doing here? God wanted to remind them that he was the core relationship of their life. He wanted everything about who they were as a people and as a nation to completely revolve around him. So God gave Israel all these instructions, and they built this huge tent called a tabernacle. And when they were finished setting it up, it says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out. The tabernacle is a message in and of itself. It's a message from God to his people saying, I'm right here. I'm in your business all the time. And when I'm here, you stay here. And when I move, you move. The tabernacle was the center of life in the nation of Israel, the very presence of God. He was their focus, their direction, their everything. And what the people did at the tabernacle actually guaranteed that this relationship could keep going all the time. See, the people brought sacrifices to the tabernacle to deal with their sin. Sin, put the most simple way I can think of it, is anything that interrupts relationship with God. So God not only put himself in the center of his people in relationship with them, but then he made a way that that relationship would never be interrupted, that no sin would ever separate them. And every day Israel would wake up and they would offer sacrifices so that their relationship with God could be ongoing. And the way that happens for us today is not through a tabernacle and an animal sacrifice. It is through Jesus. The writer of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament actually explained that Jesus came with a new agreement, a new covenant, not with the blood of animals, but with his own blood. He was both the priest who could connect us in relationship to God, and he was the sacrifice in the tabernacle in heaven, so that once and for all our sin would never separate us from God and we could stay connected all the time. Guys, this is huge for our life today. It means instead of wandering through life, get up, go to work, pay bills, stop at the store, take care of the kids, wondering what the heck we're doing, it means that we get to have a relationship at the core where we wake up every day and there is direction and purpose and life in our worship and our service to him. That means, Elizabeth, you and anyone else who feels like your direction has been lost, like your purpose is gone, it is not gone. It is with him and in him every single day. You were made to worship him. You were made to serve him. And everything about your life is in that relationship at the core. The way to a fresh direction in your life is putting Jesus in the center, remembering that he is the king in the center of your camp, your life. If you are in this desert right now, you're gonna know that you're coming to the end of this journey when you stop asking God for a purpose that puts you in the center, and instead you put Jesus there instead. This journey will have changed you when you start waking up asking God, what is he doing today? And agreeing, God, you are my whole life. Now, all of you are going to, and me and everyone else I know, are going to have the opportunity to go on all of these desert journeys. And they all kind of lead us to the same basic truth. If you're going to make it out of the desert, it's only going to be with the help of God. It's with him that we're satisfied, led, provided for. It's only with him and his son Jesus that we will overcome the desert. Exodus was the story of how God tried to bring Israel through the desert to a place of trust, obedience, and relationship with him. And he's trying to do the same thing with us. The story of Exodus is your story. And it's my story. The story of the book of Exodus is that you were born into slavery. You were born into bondage to sin, and you're facing certain death. But if you will take shelter under the blood of a lamb, then God will lead you out into freedom by his power and by his grace. And once you're free, once you're alive in Christ, he's gonna ask you, will you be faithful? Will you walk through life in obedience to my word? Will you become then more and more like me, living life as he designed it here on earth? And when you're here, it's not always going to go great. You're going to wander and you're going to sin, and so am I, and we'll all be in it together. But we have a priest named Jesus in a heavenly tabernacle who sacrificed himself to connect us to God in a relationship that one day is going to take us all the way to the land that we were promised. Okay, so big reveal. Jesus is the end to all three of these journeys through the desert. He actually says in the book of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says he's the end. So if you're on a journey of trust, he's the way. If you're on a journey of obedience, he's the truth. If you're on a journey of making him the core relationship, you need to know today he is the life that you are looking for. Without Jesus, I already know what's going to happen. I know because it's what happened to Israel, and I know it because it's what's happened to me when I haven't followed him through the desert. What happened is that most of them died there. It's not exactly an uplifting end. Most of Israel died in the desert. There were a few who made it, and the few who made it out, they did so because they actually built a living faith in the God who rescued them. They trusted him. They followed him. They obeyed him when no one else would. The desert, guys, the desert is a dangerous place. It's a place where you can lose heart. You can get overwhelmed. You can lose focus. You can lack faithfulness. Trust me, because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life that gets you out of the desert. If you think that this is true, if you even think it might be true, then what I want you to do right now is I want you to try to say some words out loud to Jesus. I want you to worship him. I want you to worship him as the way. I want you to worship him as the truth. I want you to worship him as the life. Let's tell him that together right now.
Does my health come from the maker of heaven and earth? The battle's already won. When you conquered death, you buried hell. It was finished then, and it's finished now.
Your
Unbreakable. You will not make it to the end, but with him, oh man, will you ever? With him, you are unbreakable because he is unbreakable. You might be hungry, tired, thirsty, dirty, homeless, afraid, whatever is going on in your desert, you can get out and you can start today. Don't give up. He is your way out. He is your journey to the end, your way, your truth, your life, the life that can overcome the death of the desert.
Now, let's see if Brian and Chuck can complete their challenge and get us out of the desert.
Looks like you guys are just about done.
Yes, we are.
Perfect timing. Here comes Allie. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys. What's going on?
Hey, Allie.
What is happening
Finishing
here?
Up the challenge here.
Doing the work of the Lord.
Just carving on Ten Commandments on tablets of stone.
Carving take you know. Home. Uh-huh.
How come you guys have beer?
That's an excellent question.
Allie, you know what?
Just for you.
Look at.
Oh, wow. And she actually.
Wait, is that a real beer you're giving her?
I happen to have just one of those for you.
How'd it go?
You know, I think it went well. Yeah. I cried. I yelled at people. It was great.
You did all the things.
Just a normal day.
That was the endurance of life. Okay, Allie, now.
Cry a little, yell a little.
Cry a little, yell at people.
This is a contest. And I think you should be the judge. The contest was they have to carve one of the Ten Commandments, any one that they picked, into stone. Whoever wins, i.e. carves the best, gets this delicious In-N-Out burger. Oh, someone will let you look at what their work and reward it.
Now look.
Or whatever else you want to do with it. I guess that's fine too.
There might not be anything left. All right, so.
Wait. Love God. Do not lie.
Hey. You have love God on there?
I do now.
Oh!
Except that wasn't part of the Ten Commandments, so you just added to the law.
Gosh.
I think.
All right. Do not lie. Well, I mean, Chuck wins. He got.
Oh, come on.
He got two.
You are lying right now. Why does he win?
He got love God.
Love God.
The first and greatest commandment.
No other gods before me.
The first and greatest commandment. You win the burger.
Hey, you know what? It also says. Well, it doesn't say in the Ten Commandments. It says you can be generous.
It does.
But you can. But you can. So please, have some. Have some.
So generous.
How could I talk about loving God if I'm not
going to? You're going to love me have the first bite.
Absolutely. You can have the first. I'll let you have the first bite. The
All right.
So good.
I've actually never had an In-N-Out burger.
It's not very COVID.
You've never had? This is your first In-N-Out burger?
I'm not sure.
Absolutely is. You're right. We shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I just touched all over it, too, so that means you can't.
We're going.
We're going.
Thank you very much.
We're in the desert.
Yeah, you licked things again. He licked the ice cream earlier, too.
One of the things we're learning about Brian is Brian likes to lick things. That's a problem.
Before he eats it.
To lick things. What does that mean?
You lick the ice cream. You're licking the burger. Like, you just lick things.
You're supposed to eat things, man. Just take bites. Like a normal person.
Yeah.
Well, tell you what, that went in, and it's going to come out, too.
Okay, I think we're done here. Yeah. Hey, listen, you guys were amazing sports through this entire thing, and not just amazing sports, but honestly, amazing guides. You gave us the strength to stand, the courage to move, and the endurance to last. It was incredible. Hey, at Crossroads, we know that. We've actually designed our church so that you don't have to do life alone. In fact, if you need help in any way right now, reach out to us. Honestly, go to the website, click the chat button. Someone's waiting there to talk with you. Or if you want to talk to me directly, you can do that. Just send me an email. This is my actual email address. I'll do my best to get back to you within 24 hours. And what we did in this series, we actually do every single weekend. Every weekend, we release a brand new episode designed to inspire you, equip you, encourage you, and get you the life that God made you for. We'll have more just like this next week. All right, that's pretty much it, I think, right?
All right.
Let's head home.
Let's go.
Which way?
To where?
I didn't bring a car. But I see a road that way. You can probably hitch a ride. So
a road?
A road.
You're gonna wanna pack up those fries. We might need them for the journey. And let's head out. Come on.
I'll let those for the critters.
Let's go.
I'm taking my car tablet as a souvenir.
Right, exactly.
Say hello to your cousin. There's my little cousin.
Don't let your experience end here. For more of Allie, Chuck, Brian, and even me, follow us on social and don't miss next week on Crossroads. We get free from the things that are holding us back.
Regardless of your financial situation, stress over money affects everyone. Everyone. Whether you feel hopeless trying to make ends meet, or you can't seem to justify where it all went, or you're swimming in cash but feel unsure what to do with it, or your money's not buying you the freedom you hoped it would. It's stressful. But what if it doesn't have to be? What if your faith could grow alongside your financial confidence? Freed Up is a teaching series paired with a personalized app experience that gives you the tools, ideas, and encouragement you need to thrive financially and grow spiritually. Join us in exploring what God has to say about money and experience new heights of financial freedom. Join us for Freed Up.